The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Look, you already seem to understand what we get distracted with when we go into the bathroom. Huh? So, yeah, sometimes the garbage slips the mind.
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
How can I be thinking about the garbage when I got some Hooters on my mind?
The owls are beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Are you a bird lover?
Me? Oh, no. Well, I used to have a parakeet.
Just out of curiosity, what percentage are Hooters on your mind? Is it like 60% of your downtime? Is it
depends
higher?
On the day.
But now my main area of expertise is canines. Dogs to the layperson.
Thanks. I love dogs, too. So how are you involved with them?
Oh, I've trained them, you know, bathed them, clipped them. I've even bred them.
Any unusual breeding?
No, mostly just doggy style.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man looks like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying.
Moving a little slow this morning, Chew. I might need your tips on how to Thirsty Thursday and then Function Friday.
Oh, I think
I'm
that's
dry January.
You're doing dry January?
Yeah.
Or is it more of a damp January?
Dry.
Okay.
What?
You got to purge every now and
when
then.
When did you decide
purge
to do this?
The system. January 6th, 7th?
Wait, so so you got to drink during the college football playoff games that were going on January 1st.
Yeah.
And wait, is this one of those things where you imbibed, you enjoyed, and then you felt like doo-doo, so then you were like, I'm not doing that anymore? Or was this the classic, I'm never drinking again reaction?
I cut the head off every now and then. I don't know how long. You know, I'm one of those guys like, nah, I don't, I'm sick of it. It's the same old crap. Just change it up.
Dry January based
on vibes.
I
don't know. It could be a dry January. I've gone 6 months before. It's not a big deal.
Based on vibes. He could make his way into the summer or...
Yeah.
He could be sitting there tomorrow watching the wild card round and go, you know what would be good with this wild card game?
Yes.
Glass of wine.
Is it a discipline thing? Are you trying to like test your discipline and see if you can just not enjoy an alcoholic beverage for the next... Wait, what day is it?
It is January 10th.
Oh, so you've been 4 days strong.
Yeah. No, it's more of a cleanse. It's a cleanse. I mean, some people do enemas. I do dryness.
January-ish, you know? By the way. It's like January. That's it. You know, you don't get the full January
because
dry January on the 6th.
I mean, it doesn't seem fair that February's right there. It's only 28 days, you know, so it's just like if you've lopped off the front end of January and still gets credit for the full month.
Do I have to take it the 6 days or 7 days into February?
Yes, ish. I don't care. I really couldn't care less, to be honest with you, if you drink or don't drink. But I had no idea you were doing that.
Neither did he.
I can tell you this.
Hey, wait. Hold on.
I can tell you this, though. What?
Wait. So the only way you've actually done, you've lasted a day.
Correct.
Because if you started the 6th, so then you drank all last weekend, which we know you did because the text messages that we received and discussed earlier this week. So you went through all the entire weekend. You don't drink Monday through Wednesday anyways.
So we took basically
correct.
What it comes down to is you took one Thirsty Thursday off.
Yes, but I can tell you this, not a lot of happy people down here. Now, you would think you would get like encouragement, like, well, that's great, you know, instead of, no, you can't do that. No.
Wait,
no,
why?
We got
why
playoffs.
Do they care?
We've got.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're degenerates.
Yeah, but what does you drinking have to do with them drinking?
Because I'm fun, I guess.
People can't resist being around Chewy. It's just a good time.
I guess I'm fun.
By the way, I had multiple people reach out to me today in a panic because RIP Chewy was trending on Twitter.
Oh.
So I had to confirm that Chewy is indeed still amongst us.
What was that in reference to?
The best I could figure, somebody who just had their dog died, and his name was Chewy, and the post went viral.
Oh. Well, good.
See,
good
I was
know.
Big when I played. When I played, Brett got the babies, and I got the pets. So Brett was a hot name when Brett was playing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, and thank God in the '90s.
Oh, you didn't pick that up?
I had no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah,
no
there
idea.
Were a lot of pets.
Like, Brett got the babies, and I got the pets.
Yeah, in terms of things that got named after him.
Now I know that, but at first I thought it was some sort of separation arrangement.
Is this, hold on, Gabe.
Chewy.
Is this Evan's weak way of trying to get back at me for what I said earlier in the week?
I don't think so.
Oh, wait, you think Evan Cohen did the RIP Chewy and got it going viral?
Well, this is where Gabe got it from.
Yeah, so Evan was the first person to reach out with a screenshot of RIP Chewy from Twitter, and he had sent me an email, and that's all it was. There was no message in the email, there was no other than the picture that said RIP Chewy. So I emailed him back after I was able to call and talk to Chewy to confirm that Chewy is indeed still amongst the living.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I'm glad that you're still here, bud. I can't believe you're doing a dry Janua. That's what we're going to call it from now on.
Right now, let's be honest. Right now, it's just a dry J.
It's just a dry Ja. I think we should take bets on how far it goes.
Tomorrow.
Take a date. It'll be like a pregnancy poll.
Oh. Give me the 11th.
No, I wouldn't. I've gone, like I said, 6 months.
You have gone 6 months, but the problem is, Chew, right now, yes, I think you could do it. If you were just by yourself in a fortress of solitude, I think that you could do it. But the problem is, you mentioned all your friends around you who are already upset that you've started to do this. You were relieved when you came up to Wisconsin around the holidays because you're like, man, whew, every day's a Saturday down there. Every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Everybody just wants to drink. I gotta go and I gotta drink with these people. They are going to wear your ass down. You are not making it through the month of January.
This is what drives me, and this is what brought me to doing this. So you guys know I popped my sack in my elbow, right? Tried going back to the gym on Monday.
Yeah.
Aggravated it again.
Oh, no.
So I bought a TENS unit. I bought one of those things to increase the circulation flow in the elbow. This is driven by my doughiness because I've been out of the gym for a month.
You know
so
what?
So it's driven by my doughiness. Monday, I think I'm good to go. Until I de-dough myself, I'm not doing it.
This makes sense.
I'm not
you know
doing
what? This I actually now that I've gotten the real and true explanation, now he's got this.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess the 16th. Okay. That was a wonderful speech. I appreciate your dedication. I'm giving it till next Thursday because you won't drink this weekend because you just committed to it on the 6th. Yesterday was your first test.
Well, hold on, Jen.
You didn't drink yesterday. Congratulations. Good on ya.
But
you.
But hold
on. This weekend coming up. That's going to be tough, Chew. It's going to be tough.
People are going to be celebrating. No. So you guys are missing something and it's right in front of your face. It's right in front of your face. You're missing. Anybody? Josh?
Bueller?
I have no idea what's going
on. This just refers to alcohol.
Gummies.
Well, yeah. I assumed that was going to continue
California
to happen.
Sober.
Yeah.
There's a name for it.
Would you like to guess again on how long it's going to be, Jen?
No, I'll stick with my 16th prediction. We're doing so Chewy is doing a dry Janua. Can't give him the RY because he skipped the first 6 days of the month, but he's doing a dry Janua and he's telling us that he's going to make it the whole month through January 31st without drinking, maybe longer.
I think he's going to go into February because he's been out of the gym for like a month.
This will be a walk.
He's been out of the gym for a month. And once he starts pumping and he starts to see those results, he's not going to want to backtrack with the alcohol.
You need to give us a date.
I mean, now that I, again, now that I know.
Oh, Gabe.
No, you don't get to pick your own baby pool.
Now that I know that this has actually been a thing, the reason, the true reason behind it, not just because he felt like doing it, and there's a reason, and it has to do with his weightlifting. I'm going to say.
Gabe, hold on. I want to give you. Gabe, hold on. Before you say that, I want to give you one more nugget.
Okay.
I just went to Mentality South.
Okay. Oh, so he's feeling real good. He's going to start pumping iron. He's just got, he's got that testosterone in him. I'm going to say Valentine's Day. You're going to have a nice Valentine's Day dinner to celebrate not just your wife, but the fact that you've lost some of your doniness. I am saying February 14th.
Joshy, you got a prediction?
No.
I'm with Gabe.
Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
All right.
That's a good, that's,
there's a reason people pick January is because everyone has the holiday hangover, so there's less gatherings with friends, there's less to do, you spend more time at home.
The fatal flaw in this plan is the only person who's going to be able to tell us if Chewy does have a drink is Chewy.
Let's be honest, we're going to know.
We might need to...
I'll come clean.
Might, are you sure? Because I was going to say, we might need to employ a secret agent over on that end to let us know.
There's only one date that I have to get past. One date.
Super Bowl?
And it's February 2nd. It's someone's birthday.
Oh, see? This is information that's very valuable.
You know whose birthday?
No. Chew, whose birthday is it?
Bleep Bird's. It's Bleep Bird's birthday that day. You're celebrating your kid's dog.
No.
Oh, my God.
If you don't tell me, I'm going to dive through this.
You know what, bro? I can't believe you won't have a cold one on my birthday with me. It's so disappointing.
But you're not even going to be up here.
I'm coming back in a couple weeks.
Oh, so you will be
here? You know
why
I'm coming back, though? You know why I'm coming back?
No, again,
because
the way you tell stories...
You just don't start telling me stuff.
You just, like, trickle information out. For the love of God, give us all the details.
Quickly, before anybody, we move past it. That was an impression of Chewy's neighbor up here, the Blammer.
Yes.
So what
I'm
other information...
For 4 days.
Here we go. You're coming back.
It's
you're
cute that
tell
you know
why.
His birthday.
For 4 days to get a haircut.
Wait, you can't find a barber down there?
I would imagine it's not his hair
wife.
That's getting cut.
It's my wife.
Oh.
She may... No, it is. It's just she has to do certain things, so she needed a reason for me to go back, so she booked me a haircut on whatever day. So that's why I'm coming
back. So Jason goes to Madison for his haircut, and you have to come all the way back here for yours.
Yes.
Y'all are weird. Folks weighing in on the Carbless Talking text line this morning, 800-990-3776. Liss is more. Dumpy says, I'm going Price is Right on Gabe and saying the day after Valentine's Day. Is that how that works?
Oh.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I he thinks
so. Yeah.
Any day beyond Valentine's Day, but the likelihood is that he's going to drink on Valentine's Day, not the day after Valentine's Day.
Correct.
So what day is Valentine's Day this
year?
It's
a Friday.
No, what date? What is the date?
What do you mean?
Goodness gracious.
What do you mean?
It's
what
not day? Like Thanksgiving.
It's Easter. It doesn't bop around.
No, I thought it was like Easter.
No.
It is much like Christmas. It is much like July 4th.
Yeah.
New Year's Eve. New Year's Day.
Christmas Day. Your birthday. Hey, we date your birthday on this year, Chew.
I thought it was on Easter. Like Easter. I thought it was like...
No,
I thought they did it on a Tuesday, every Tuesday, like in
like
February.
Like the second Tuesday second in Tuesday, February or something like that? No, it's famously February 14th. Every year.
Gotcha.
Of your life.
All right. Just, you know what? While you're up here, Chew, just text Dean, make a plan to go over there because you're obviously forgetting Valentine's Day. Just go to the jewelry center, preemptively have something stashed away so when you forget, you can give it to her. I may have to back off the 14th
now
because he has no idea.
Dino hooked me up. He hooked me up with a beautiful ring. Got a lot of points, too. A lot of points.
A couple more yoga pants.
D Dean should. He should sell yoga pants and diamonds.
All right, well,
I'll make sure he hears.
Yeah, I was about to say, Josh, let's make sure we send this to our friends at the Jewelry Center.
Expansion.
Hey, Dean, Chewy's got expansion ideas for you. No, not another store. No, within the store, you just sell another product.
My God, are you a menace? We got to take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We do have lots of actual stuff to get to this morning. We are going to talk about the Green Bay Packers taking on the Eagles this weekend. We've got Jason Wilde coming up. We have Craig Karmazin. And in the second hour of the show, we have Adam Schefter, who is joining us. You probably all saw on social media, but Adam Schefter's dog passed away earlier this week. So he is joining us today instead of his usual scheduled Wednesday. We will talk with Jason Wilde right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Well, we were just talking it. So, fellas, listen up. If you're getting ready to take that next step in life and propose, of course, the Jewelry Center has to be the first step. Whether it's naturally mined, lab-grown diamonds, the Jewelry Center has options for it all. Maybe you have an idea of that ring for that special someone. Maybe you don't. Go to our Pinterest page, print out some of those ideas, bring in some of those ideas, and the fine folks at the Jewelry Center always going to point you in the right direction. Of course, if you're not looking to get engaged, but looking for a great gift idea the way that Chewy was and earned points with his wife, the Jewelry Center, the only place to go. Learn more about their engagement ring selection or any other services at shoptjc.com. Stop in today at any one of their three locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. Or, when you go there, make sure you just tell them, hey, Gabe and Chew sent us to the Jewelry Center.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Person I know who travels obscene distances to get his hair cut. It's Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm great. And I need a haircut desperately. So maybe I'll have time if things go on Sunday the way the odds makers think they're going to go.
Yeah, it's a great point. We were just looking at ESPN Bet and, of course, over at our friends at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. And the line has moved again. Packers now 5-point dogs to the Eagles. So I want to begin.
So just a second. Just so I understand this, because I'm not a wagerer. Is that based on something that has happened? Gabe, help me with this, because I know you're very smart about this stuff. Not that everybody on the panel isn't, but that's not because of like Jordan Love practicing in full necessarily, right? That's
no.
Because of where the money is coming.
Correct.
And who's on what?
Correct.
Okay.
Abbott and Costello and whatnot. Joshy said this morning he wondered if there are a bunch of people out on the East Coast who are waking up with their new paychecks, Friday and all, and we're like, I'm going to throw a little cash down. I'm going to throw a little cash down on the Eagles-Packers game.
It's the third time this week I've looked at the line before talking to Jen, the crew here in the morning, and the move, it has moved a full point and a half a point three times in a row. So it keeps moving their way and then comes back down throughout the day. It's very interesting.
Okay. Learn something new every day on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Last year, when the Packers played the Cowboys, they were 7.5-point underdogs. Would a win on Sunday be more surprising than a win against the Cowboys last year, than the win against the Cowboys last year?
Yeah, for me it would be. Now, again, I don't know about ESPN Bet, but for me it would be for sure. Like, I don't know. And LaFleur got, I don't want to say irritated with me. I hate it when he says, I respect the question, because he might as well say, I hate that question.
Hey, bleep you, but, Jason.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'd rather you say that, frankly. But because I was trying to juxtapose the vibe from last year going into the playoffs and the vibe going into this year. Because, look, I'm not saying this is not scientific, but I'm in that locker room every day. Not all day long like players are, and guys behave differently when the media is in there. I get that too. But like, I very distinctly remember being in that locker room last year leading into that Cowboys game thinking, God, these guys are loose. They're confident. They're feeling really good about themselves. And they're like, I'm not intimidated by this. Whereas given how many, you know, young guys who, because remember the 2022 draft class, Packers lost that last game against the Lions. So they didn't make the playoffs in 22. So they had just a ton of guys who had no idea what playoff football was. And there was no tightness. There was no nervousness. They just didn't. Every day that I was in there leading up to that Cowboys game, that was not the vibe at all. And this week, there's just, you know, between Love and dealing with his injury, between the way they finished the season, it just feels different to me. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but when I asked LaFleur kind of the difference and how you get this year's guys up there to where they were feeling the way they were feeling last year, it was kind of like, oh, I hate it when you guys compare, I don't think that way. Okay, well then, and so I followed up by saying, all right, well then forget about that. What's the vibe that you sense from this team? And, you know, obviously being in that locker room after the game on Sunday, they were mad and disappointed and frustrated. How do you get them back to the confidence level that you want them to be at for a game? And he didn't have a great answer to that either. So I'm not saying they can't win, because they're not a great mental space, but there's just not that same vibe. And so I will definitely be, I won't be stunned if they win. I do think they can win this game, but I don't expect them to. Whereas the Cowboys game last year, I don't want to say that I expected them to, but I knew that it was definitely a possibility, even with everything Dallas had done at home during the course of the year.
Well, I think LaFleur, it's flawed thinking. And I understand fans are fans. But, Jason, you can't go back to, like, I'm real confident because they went into Dallas last year. I'd be like saying, well, we beat San Francisco 2 years ago. You know, you can
right?
It's just not how it works, you know? There's a reason teams get hot in the playoffs. And to call this team hot, yeah, Jason, they can win. They can win. But it's going to take three turnovers, and it's going to take some C-level players playing like A-level players to do it.
Yeah, I don't remember you.
Would you agree with that?
Completely. I mean, first of all, I don't remember you guys like in 96. I mean, you were a different team then. Everyone knew you were a Super Bowl team. But like, it's not like we ever heard you guys talking about, boy, remember when Brett threw that touchdown to Sterling in Detroit, like,
yeah.
Oh, you know, we did that. We can do anything, right? And look, I'm part of that equation. I did ask Love, you know, what doing what he did in Dallas in his first playoff game does for him going into this game. So I'm part of that narrative. I'm going to wear that. But again, you know, I love that LaFleur said earlier in the week, I can't remember who asked him it, but, you know, somebody asked, do you believe in momentum? And he said, no. And I wanted to say, okay, if you had won six in a row and somebody said, do you believe in momentum, would your answer really have been the same? Because I don't think it would have been. Because you just, there, it is palpable. You can feel it. And again, you play the game, you would know better than me. But to me, momentum isn't, oh, we're playing great and we know that we're going to continue to play great because we've played great previously. To me, you know, all you guys are confident as players. Otherwise, you wouldn't have even made it this far. But there is something to having evidence to support your confidence, right? Because you did this, that, and the next thing that supports, hey, we are really good. And here, if you don't believe me, look at what we did in this game. And look at what we did this game. And look what we did last week. And this team doesn't have any of that evidence. Now, again, that doesn't mean they can't win. But the idea, to me, that's what momentum is. I have confidence in myself, and I've done a bunch of things this season to convince not only me but others that that confidence is well-placed.
Jason, I think that Jordan Love needs to have a big game if the Packers want to win. Does he need to get
totally
back
agree.
To the let-it-rip mentality than that conversation that him and LaFleur had last year before the Steelers game, right before the Packers went on their run that resulted in the playoff win a year ago?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I still, despite spending much of the week trying to get a better understanding. I mean, I asked Steno and LaFleur, and I asked Love, and I asked some wide receivers, and, you know, I got the, well, it's just the details over and over and over again, which, you know, I understand details are part of it. Don't get me wrong. But I don't have a good answer for why the passing game has not been more productive, right? Like, look, Josh Jacobs is magnificent, and it is possible to have a great running game and use it in a manner that gets your offensive passing game going similarly. And again, to go way back in the history machine, you know, Dorsey Levens ran for nearly 1,500 yards in the 97 season when you guys went back to the Super Bowl. But Brett won his third straight MVP that season because he was great too. And so, you know, I it's hard because, you know, they're focused on the game plan and everything else. And this is probably more of an off season, dig into the film and then see what you saw. But I still believe that while they have done all this to complement and to fit Josh Jacobs' running style better, going away from the outside zone and going to more duo blocking, which has been great for Jacobs, and being in the pistol or in the shotgun, which again has really fit his style, which is great. And I don't want to undercut how awesome he's been, but my opinion, and I would rely on people who know way more ball than I do, so Chu, Bulaga, Tausch, Brad Nortman, et cetera, Gary Ellerson, people who've played in the league. It just looks to me like their play-action game is nowhere near as dangerous and nowhere near as similar to what they're doing in the run game. I mean, they do some fun stuff in the run game, right? Like that pirouette that Love does. He fakes the hand off to one guy, fakes it to another guy, then he thinks, so he like pauses and puts his hand on his chin for a second, maybe I'll throw, and then he hands it off. Like that really works. Like, they started doing that with Malik, and it's been great. But how many times have you seen them really hit on play action balls in the last, I don't know, 6 weeks? Like, it just doesn't feel like that has been nearly as big of a weapon. And you know, Bulaga did it again this week. He made fun of McCarthy, who we all love, but McCarthy running these play-action fakes that in no way matched any of their actual running plays. And it just feels like they've gotten away from the core principle of this offense from Shanahan and McVay to LaFleur on down, which was the quarterback is under center, fakes the handoff, but for the first three steps, the defenders have no clue if it's a run or a pass. And it just feels like, and maybe some of the shotgun and the pistol is also related to Love's injuries and whatever, it just doesn't feel like that's as effective. Chewy, if I'm off base with that, please tell me now, because otherwise I'm
going to... No, you're not. Because me and Gabe, you know, we do our all 22.
The breakdown.
And yeah. There was a play, Jason. It was 3rd and 7, and they're running routes like it's 3rd and 15. Remember the play, Gabe?
Yep.
They threw it incomplete to Kraft in the flat, who wasn't really involved in the play. I'm like, why are they running such deep routes when it's 3rd and 7? It's just great. I mean, it was a horrible call, and the line was fine. The protection was there. It's just, I don't know. It's just, yeah, Jason, and I live. Fox 2XY hook, you couldn't stop. I caught 40% of my balls probably over my career on that play. It probably had a 75% hit rate. Why aren't they doing that with Tucker Kraft? And I said with you, Jason, I think last week, I'm like, why doesn't he have a play where, like, ooh, I remember that play. That works real well. Mm-hmm. Everything's different.
Yeah,
you know? There's no bread and butter.
I would agree with that. And on top of that, I do wonder, and look, Jordan Love is nowhere near the point where Favre was with you, or where Rodgers was with Devontae or Jordy before that. But, like, do you feel like I feel like Kraft could, again, I was the early adopter of comparing him to you, so I'm going to continue to brag about that. But the fact of the matter is that whenever Brett needed it, whenever he didn't have anything else and was like, okay, I got to do something here, you were that security blanket, right? I mean, he just mm-hmm. always yeah. knew, hey, if all else fails, just Chew and I'll figure it out. And when you look, and again, I feel like I'm being, you know, folks that are listening or that are in the YouTube comments, I'm not watching, I'm not monitoring those like I do during our show, but I'm thinking they're sitting there, God, you guys are being so negative today. It's not that. It's just, who is the guy right now that when you look at Love, you say, okay, he knows that this guy can come through for him? Because look, let's be honest, as great as you were, you weren't a game-breaking pass-catching player. You were all, well, sure. Right? So I'm not saying that.
Jason, he was 100 overall in Madden. Let's not undersell Chewy.
I've heard. Yeah, I've heard that. And I always thought he was more, during his era, more of like a television or Atari player. Like, they didn't really keep score then. But be that as it may, I don't feel like there's that guy, that safety valve, that security blanket for Love. And maybe the offense is designed differently, so you just go through your progressions and you do what you do there. But it would be, I thought Kraft would be that guy. And again, if you look at his production of late, it has tailed off some. And I don't think it's because suddenly Tucker Kraft isn't effective.
Jason, good stuff. We appreciate you. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can listen to him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We got to get to Craig Karmazin. He is coming up next. I would like at some point, and I don't think that this is Craig Karmazin's job, for somebody to explain to me how outside zone versus duo affects the quarterback. What is the primary effect on the quarterback when you switch from one to the other? How does it change the passing lanes? How does it change his decision making? I would like somebody smarter than me to tell me if that has affected Jordan Love and his ability to get in a rhythm to have success this season. Again, not saying that that's Craig Karmazin's job to do, but somebody, maybe it's Chu, can explain to me if that is having an effect on the quarterback this year. We'll take a break. Roll on right after this.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's
before we bring Craig Karmazin in, I just want to get the pulse of this panel, okay? So we know what the baseline is. Is anyone here feeling more confident about the Packers' ability to walk out of Philadelphia with a win today than they were on Monday following the loss to the Bears? Anyone?
Him?
No.
Joshy?
Yeah. I mean, the negativity on Monday was as deep as it goes.
Huh?
Matt LaFraud was a thing. Fire Goody, all those things.
Matt the Mouse. I see that everywhere.
I don't feel as bad as I did.
Yeah, but
you're still not picking him to win.
I don't understand.
That's what you think.
How do you be positive? This isn't a cheerleader show. This is an analyst show, you know? Am I right? I mean, what do they want us to do? Cheerlead?
I mean, Chew, I don't know if you
We're
can call us...
We're just telling you what we think.
I know. I don't know if you can call us an analyst show with some of the other topics of conversation we've had this
Especially
week.
This week.
Yeah,
we're a bozo show
is what we are. I do want to bring Craig Karmazin in on this. I just wanted to get the baseline, Craig, so that you know what you're stepping into. I am not any more confident today than I was earlier this week, but Joshy is more confident today than he was on Monday. Where do you stand in your confidence level on the Green Bay Packers going into Philly?
Hey, morning. I just
bet a money line bet. I'm in New Jersey. I just put a money line bet on the Green Bay Packers. And you know, I'm not even a Packers fan. I'm a Bears fan. So I could actually look at this in a appropriate way. You are all delusional. This was a team that last year was playing a bad schedule and went 9-8. This year had to play a significantly tougher schedule, improved by two games. Jordan Love hasn't thrown a pick in 2 months. Last year they went in as a over 7-point underdog and beat the Dallas Cowboys. This time they're going into a Philadelphia Eagles team that doesn't have the cohesiveness. I mean, I don't know what you guys want from the Green Bay Packers, but this team has delivered on expectations this year and is well set up to go into this playoff.
Are you drunk?
Yeah.
No, seriously.
Why did I think, say that's wrong?
Just from a baseline standpoint, I feel like we need to know. Have you been drinking this morning or late into last night?
What did I say that's wrong? And like,
this team is set up for postseason success when they're the 7 seed going on the road to one of what Chewy says is the third hardest stadium to play in?
Yeah,
here's the problem. You want to know what the problem is? Craig, you want the problem? This is the problem. You praise people when the Packers are good and they win and they get it right. You don't praise people when they're bad and we get it right. Because if they lose this game, me and Gabe have been flipping spot on this year. And you won't admit it. That's the problem. We've been spot on. We've been called negative Nellies. We've been called this.
What makes you think
they're going to win this game? The 5 tough games they played, they got smoke chopped. Give me your marquee win.
And hold on. I got to write that one down.
Smoke chopped the Eagles.
Was it smoke chopped or smoke shopped?
Smoke chopped.
They did not get smoked by the Eagles. They did not get smoked by the Eagles.
So are the Eagles better now than they were that first game of the year? Are the Eagles better now than that first game of the year?
I think both teams.
I'm not
going
to blow smoke. I don't have it in me to blow smoke. I don't have it in me to blow smoke.
Even when I played, Craig. Chewy, I'm sorry Rashawn Gary makes more money than you, so you have to rip on him every second you get.
I mean, you should probably.
I don't care. I got plenty of money. I got plenty of money. I don't need any more money.
The guy's a really productive player. Look at Pro Football Focus.
Craig, when we went into Dallas.
It's not just sack numbers. Rashawn Gary is productive. This defense is way better than it was last year. Last year at this time, they had just given up 300-yard performances to, like, Tommy DeVito and had been Bryce Young enrolled them.
Yeah, but they had also, Craig, they also beat the Lions on the road. They also beat the eventual Super Bowl champion at home in Kansas City. Like, there was more proof of concept.
That was ancient news at that point. Think about December of last year. They equally struggled offensively like they did this year against the Bears.
Okay, then Craig, if that was ancient news by the time they got to the Dallas Cowboys, then any positive thing this year is going to be ancient news because they've lost and looked bad their last two games.
This year, they beat everyone they're supposed to beat. They lost everyone they're supposed to beat. Don't overly look at this Bears game. I mean,
Wait, Craig. I want to make sure that we're all on the same page here. Expectations for the Green Bay Packers are to win Super Bowls. Yes or no?
No, that's stupid.
Expectations for the Green Bay Packers are to win the division. Yes or no?
No, not this year.
See, now you're just lying. You're just absolutely straight up lying to defend your position. They were supposed to. You have to beat the Lions. You have to beat the Vikings. You have to beat the Bears.
That's part of the expectation
for the Green Bay Packers, Craig.
Okay, Josh, between Josh, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, who thought the Packers were better than the Lions coming into this year?
Thought they could hold their own.
Jen did say they're going to go undefeated in the division.
My bold prediction was that they would win every game in the division. I thought they would fall into a
delusional.
Second.
So just because you were delusional coming into the year doesn't mean that the Packers haven't achieved what they should.
No. What I have been able to do, Craig, is I have been able to reevaluate as the season has gone on to recognize that I was way wrong about how close they were to the other teams in the division, to the Lions, to the Vikings. And there has been no progress. That's the other thing. There's a stretch of games that Gabe likes to point to after the bye where they were putting up 30 points consistently. But even then, the eye test was they don't look great doing it. They were fine. It was good. But like, it wasn't like, wow, this team is going to be able to go toe-to-toe with the best teams in the NFC, with the best teams in the AFC.
Craig, okay, so Craig, let's accept the point.
Did you think they were going to beat Minnesota twice? Did you think they were going to beat Minnesota twice? Because if you say no, you're a liar.
No, I went on, by the way, I went on the Wilde and Tausch predictathon and said that they would not sweep anybody in the division this year. And so, again,
might have been the only one right.
They're so ahead. They're just so ahead of the curve because last year they should have been a 7-win team. This year they should have had an easier schedule and then been like a 9 or 10 win team. Like, they're ahead of schedule.
But, so, Craig, you don't buy that BS. Like, ahead of schedule means nothing. You get opportunities, you take advantage of the opportunities. Like,
and when you don't, you get criticized for not doing
so. Yeah, so let's just accept the premise.
But why are you criticizing before they haven't done it? Like, they've shown they could go on the road and win a big playoff game. Jordan Love.
No, they haven't.
No, last year's team showed that.
Last year's team showed that, Craig. This year's team has not shown me that. So let's.
How are you going to not give Jordan Love credit that he could go into Philadelphia and win when he went into Dallas and won last year? Dallas was a more impressive home team last year statistically than Philadelphia was this year.
Because Jordan Love was playing better going into that game last year than he is this year.
Jordan Love is playing great. You guys just don't want to agree with what the numbers show.
He's playing okay.
I heard you the other day.
No, the numbers show he's playing.
Like, the QBR works, except when it disagrees with your eye.
No, well, okay, QBR is in relation to the other quarterbacks in the league.
So QBR says he's fifth, Craig. Quarterback rating says he's 12th. Which one do you think is more accurate?
QBR.
Everyone supports his argument.
Okay, but I've wanted to say this, Craig. All right, so let's accept the premise that, even though it's ridiculous because they were supposed to beat the Bears and lost, let's accept the premise that they beat all the teams they were supposed to and lost all the teams they were supposed to. They're supposed to lose this game. Why is that trend suddenly going to reverse itself for this team?
It did last year. Jordan Love in the playoffs.
But it didn't last year. But okay, Craig, give me a reason about this year. Last year was last year, man. Like, that was a completely different team than what they're doing this year. It's
because
way
there's
different.
No cohesiveness with the Philadelphia Eagles offense right now. And Jalen Hurts has not been playing, and that matters going into the postseason.
This is the most DeLulu thing you've said on the show.
Matter.
This is the most DeLulu thing. We all watched Saquon Barkley chew up the turf all season long. We're supposed to believe that now in the postseason, he's going to regress. He's going to be some underperforming version of himself.
Why do you think it's a 5-point spread and not a 10-point spread? If it's such a great home field advantage and it's all this, why is it a 5-point spread?
I mean, it's a 5-point spread because it's a great home field advantage and the Eagles are better.
Like, is not a lot.
But you're not going to see these lines for playoff games be much bigger than that.
Except for 7.5 last year against the Cowboys.
Yeah,
Craig,
last
you just made
bigger.
My point for
the,
me.
Like, Craig,
you just
the Bills
made my...
Broncos line is bigger. I mean,
sure.
There's a bunch of lines.
Just,
sure, bigger.
This team.
You just made my point for me with Jason in the last segment. I said fans are basing their belief on winning this game on what they did last year, not what they did this year. Last year has nothing to do. You're only as good as your last game. That was the saying in the league. You know, that's why you watch film and you let it go.
The Eagles.
And I agree with you. The Bears game.
The Eagles just gave up 36 points to the Commanders.
In a preseason game,
the reason the Packers would lose this game, by the way, in my opinion, is more because the Eagles have a really good defense.
Defense
has been scary throughout this year.
Did you look at the inactive list for the Eagles? It was basically a preseason game, man.
He's talking about the...
Yeah.
Against the Commanders, right?
Yeah.
Gabe, maybe Craig hasn't seen your list also that you have compiled of the times that the Packers' defense this year has let them down. Even though, again, they are considered a top-tier defense, if you go based on the statistics, if you go based on the rankings, Packers are top 10 in almost all categories, you were able to pull how many instances where the defense, backs against the wall, could not get a stop?
So there were 9 times throughout the course of the regular season where late in the game, either they're down a score or they're up a score, and they have an opportunity to get a stop and either get the ball back or get a stop and win the game. They came through, Craig, on 2 of those instances. Against the Colts and Rams. They failed against the Eagles, against the Texans, against the Jags, twice against the Bears, against Detroit, and against Minnesota.
Okay.
So that does nothing for you? Like, that's those are just cold, hard facts about how this defense isn't as good as some of the numbers maybe say they are.
And if you're pointing at history last season as an indicator.
Do you know how clutch their field goal kicker is? Does anybody watch?
Yes, and we talked about how it feels like the one area of the field where the Packers may have an advantage is their specialist.
We start talking about Daniel Whelan. I swear to God, Josh, we got to hang up.
You're
right?
You're out.
Craig.
It's a weapon.
Craig, what's
have you ever seen a guy kick these 55-yard field goals? Goals as if they're like extra points.
It looks like they got it right. It looks like they got it right. But let me ask you this: which team has a better chance at winning a championship this year, Bucks or Packers?
The Packers do not have one, by the way. The Packers have no chance of winning the championship.
Jeez, what are we doing?
What
just happened in the last 20 minutes?
The Packers are not going to string three wins in a row to get to the Super Bowl, but the Packers could beat the Eagles.
Yes, they could. I want to be very clear, Craig. I want to be very clear.
They're not going on the road three straight times and winning.
On this show, Craig, has said the Packers could beat the Eagles. Everyone has said that at one point, at various points.
Why are you thinking I'm crazy, Town, for saying that they're going to beat the Eagles?
Because the reasons that you're giving us for them being the better team, or the reasons that you think, I want to be very clear, because we're getting a lot of pushback here in the YouTube comments about us hating the Packers, about us being negative Nancys and stuff. I think we are being very objective about this team.
Okay,
I think we are saying here.
The objective thing, so, Jen, the ESPN's matchup predictor has the Packers at 48.8% to win the game. Like, that's a coin toss.
I like where I stand.
I think Craig made a lot of good points.
Okay. All right. All right. Josh, you got a little salt brown on the nose, bud. Wipe it off.
Are you angling for a promotion? Trying to get off this show?
I
would understand it given the last 20 minutes that we've had here on the show.
If you say something nice about the Packers, you get kicked off the show.
No, that's not.
What is it?
That's what it is, Craig. It's tough,
said
tough out here.
Plenty of nice things about the Packers. We would all like, everybody, who would like to see the Packers win this weekend against the Eagles? Show of hands.
Will back there,
you got an opinion on this? Okay, show of hands. We would all like to see the Packers win.
Okay,
that's
an audio
on
medium,
the
Josh.
Record. But when we look at this team objectively, the issue is they have been clunking their way through the end of the season. The Eagles, and for, I don't know where you're getting this idea that they are disjointed, da-da-da-da-da. Like, you're buying that narrative hook, line, and sinker, and I just don't think that it's as strong as you think it is. They still have a very good running back. They still have a very good defense. I still think that they are a better team. Could the Packers fall into a victory? Could they do everything right? They would have to play a perfect game, in my opinion, to beat the Eagles. Is that possible? Yes. I hope everybody hears me loud and clear saying this. I just don't think it is likely.
Yes, exactly. Well said, Jen. And Craig, you don't pay us to be cheerleaders. There's plenty of other shows that do that. Okay? You don't pay us to be cheerleaders. You know what you pay us to do? Be right.
That's why you pay us. Chewy, buddy.
Hold back. I was with you, and then you went a little too far.
Drop that.
I pay you all to entertain, which you do all the time, and you do a fantastic job.
Did you, Craig? I know you listen occasionally, and when you can, did you hear this week about how Chewy accidentally sent his son a text talking about his mom's butt?
And that I did not hear, but that is what I pay Chewy for. I'm very clear on that.
Good.
Craig,
I wanted to make sure we were all on the
same page. It's nice. It's nice.
What are we doing?
Your mom's butt is?
Not his mom's.
No, not my mom.
What are we doing?
Bye, Craig.
What are we doing?
See?
How did this happen?
Right, I gotta go through TSA pre-check. All right. Bye, guys.
All right, bye.
Woof. If I smoked, I would take a cigarette right now, you guys.
If anybody's got a flask, I'll take
that
it.
That was a wild ride.
Chewy ended that segment. X-Golf, look, get it at American Family Field. It's open year-round, which means you can be working on your game right now. It's cold. It's going to be snowy. Who cares? You can still get those swings in at X-Golf at American Family Field. Beautiful location inside the ballpark, overlooking the field. It is a unique space like you've never seen. Plus, they've got a great full bar and menu. I like the burger. If you got a couple of friends there, I would recommend the pan pizza that they have out there. Really good. But also, maybe this is the offseason you decide, you know what, I need to work on my swing. I need to get a lesson. My guy, Andy Barrett, out there is going to be able to give you lessons at X-Golf at American Family Field. Book your sim. Find out more. XGolfAmFamField.com.
A locally owned Good Karma brand station.